Welcome back to That Girl Is Going Places. If you are brand new to me, my name is Marin, and I'm excited to have you listening today. I'm so excited that I get to have Maddie, better known as Mads Tads on Instagram. That's how I see you all the time. She is a SoulCycle instructor from the Boston area, and she is going to be on today talking about all things SoulCycle and positivity and about her class and experience with her job a little bit more. So Maddie, introduce yourself, and also something that I'm starting with my guests is just sharing something you're manifesting with the title of the podcast, That Girl Is Going Places, kind of where you're going in the moment.
Okay. What am I manifesting in this moment? Gosh, that's like loaded right out the gate. I don't know if I would say this is like a manifestation or if it's just like a hope, a wish. I'm really excited to see this unfolding of what spring summer is going to bring, especially here in Boston. And just, I guess I'm manifesting what full studios will feel like, look like, and if they'll be outside or inside, or just trying to get back to the feeling of the magic and the juice and like the goodness that is and was and continues to be throughout, I guess, SoulCycle.
I love that. I don't know if you know this, but I'm moving to Boston in the fall. I'm going to be you. So I'm excited
amazing.
See the energy as well. Yeah.
It'll be full circle.
Exactly.
I guess I'm feeling that way too. You know, every time I do an interview, I'm like, you know, it depends where you get me. It depends what day it is. It depends what's going on in my brain. But right now, today I believe is the 15th anniversary of Soul. So I did another interview this morning and people were asking about Soul. So it's heavy on my mind. So I think if that was like one pinpoint manifestation I could think for myself and my colleagues and the company and beyond, it would be that right now.
I love that. So perfect segue. Talk about your entire journey to becoming an instructor, where you started, your first class, and then obviously how it's turned into you being in Boston now with crazy amazing classes. I've taken one and I'm excited I get to take more these coming 4 years. So go through all of that.
Totally. Okay, so baseline starting where I started. So my story is a little different because I actually worked as an assistant studio manager at SoulCycle before it even crossed my mind that I wanted to be an instructor. Like that was never the end goal, end game for me. End game for me, because I came from such a corporate background as an executive assistant and working in music and marketing and advertising and all that. My goal was really to work at corporate and work on either marketing or retail or doing social. It was very just like a totally different goal to me. It was like, I'm going to end up in New York. So like, whatever. And we also had a West Coast headquarters at the time. So it just really wasn't in my stratosphere that I was like, oh, I'm going to be a SoulCycle instructor. And over time and overriding the podium for different master instructors and senior instructors. And for anybody who doesn't understand what that might be listening, like riding on the podium would be like, I ride the bike and the instructor runs around the room and does all the motivation and everything else. So you're kind of like the example of what, you know, of you're like the second hand or the right hand person to whoever's teaching. So after doing that a lot and working in the studio, people were like, well, why don't you try it? Why don't you try out? And it's something I kept hearing over and over and over again. And I was like, well, I never really thought about it, but now I'm entertaining the thought. And so I went and auditioned, I believe around like it's over 5 years ago now, because I would be in training at this point 5 years ago. So, you know, 5 years ago, I did the audition process. I got sent to New York for SoulCycle training, like did the whole shebang. And of course we can go back and pull from more questions and conversations about that. I was offered a position as an instructor. I was originally given, this is like a fun fact and I feel like I've talked about it, but I was offered Boston, Philly, or Houston. And because I'm from Rhode Island originally, I chose Boston because it was kind of like the devil you know versus going to a brand new city, no friends, no parents, like no nothing. And so I came to Boston and that was you know, 5 years ago now about. So I've really just been here since on the ground and doing, you know, hashtag all the things. And that's really the Judy Blume version of how I went from A to Z really quick.
I love it. I love it. And you've stayed in Boston since, which is amazing. I feel like you've made a home there and everyone knows you there. So it's amazing to have such a community. And I'm glad that I get to join it. If you could describe your class in three words, what would you say?
These are really hard questions.
I try.
If I could describe my class in three words, I just feel like I can't think of anything that's cool and not generic. You know, I would think like energetic, inspiring, and like badass.
But
if I could think of like three places, I feel like places are more my speed. It would be like Coachella meets, you know, 7 Mile Beach in Grand Cayman meets like the Superman roller coaster at Six Flags.
I love that. Those are still three words. So that's great. I love that. Maybe better question. How do you hope someone leaves after they take your class? How do you want them to feel walking out just after taking your class?
I always want people to feel inspired into action. That's something I say a lot. And I want the impact of what I have in the room to take them beyond the four walls that are SoulCycle and out into their life and just feel like they can show up as the best version of them every day, whatever that looks like for them. Everybody has kind of like a different path and a different journey, different wants, needs, goals, dreams. So it's really very individualized to what they innately are going after, I guess.
I love that. That's definitely how I felt after I took your class back in September. So I can guarantee that's, you are successful in that goal.
It's great to hear. It's always here.
So obviously you are, I mean, everyone can tell just with that little statement that you are a super positive, inspiring person, and you are one who really changes people's lives, even in that room and outside of that room. So your own journey to become that inspiring, positive, open, confident person, have there been any huge events or mindset shifts or milestones that have led you to become that person where you're able to give that out to other people today?
I would say, you know, to pinpoint it, that's like tough because I think it's an experiential journey. And I don't think there's any one event or any one downfall or any one massive failure or any one like comeback that I'd say, oh, that's the one that made me who I am. I think it's a collection of having, you know, a real growth mindset and wanting to be better. I think that's like, I think that's a huge thing. Like we're all, I say this a lot too, I have all these little sayings, but like we're all wildly capable. It just really comes down to like what you're willing to do. So I think in that willingness, it's just something that I want to marinate in. And I feel like that's something that everybody always asks me, like, how are you so positive? How are you whatever? And it's funny because I try to be that light for so many people. And that's truly what I believe that my power, passion, and purpose is and like why I was put on this planet. And I also am sometimes like in like, you know, like right here, right now, I'm just like sitting in my living room and I'm just kind of like chilling and I'm a little like, and I'm like, wait, okay. Like, am I that person? Like, are you sure? Like what? So it's still, I think it's just, I don't know. It's just like wanting to be that thing. I think everybody has that power. It's not like I was born with some kind of thing that anybody else was. I think it's just something you work on and you make it a habitual trait that you kind of embody day in and day out.
Do you think that that trait of yours has changed specifically through class over these past 5 years? If you look at yourself back in training, where are you the same instructor then that you are now with that same messaging?
I would probably say there are like glimpses probably of that person that showed up on day one. I always like to say that every instructor has an X factor or superpower, or I always think of, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy or X-Men or whatever, Marvel, DC, doesn't matter what you, which one you love, but everyone has their superpowers. And those are like the raw God-given talents that are just like the effervescence of when you show up. And I think those are things that can't be like learned or taught, if you will. And I think those probably shine through in moments, but I think like the messaging and who I am and how sure of myself I show up now, and just be having done it day in and day out, 6 days a week, several times a day, you know, there's that 10X factor. So of course I'm going to show up as a completely different, you know, beast now than I would 5 years ago. And that's just training. That's just, you know, I always say like beating on your craft, like that 10,000 hour rule. Like, I would say you're, you know, a master now versus a novice then, just because of how much you do it. And I think that kind of confidence you learn over time when you really figure out who you are.
I love that. You mentioned that each instructor, fitness professional, has their own kind of gem that they're able to tap into that's not really something you can teach or that can be learned. Is there any other advice or perspective that you have on that for fitness professionals in general, for not trying to be just your own favorite instructor? Or, you know, I feel like you hear that all the time, just trying to be someone that you take or someone that you look up to and finding your own voice there.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's the biggest mistake out the gate that you can make, is trying to be somebody else. I remember, I'm a big fan of Gabby Bernstein and her books, and I, you know, I've just followed her for years and years, but I remember being at an event and I remember her very distinctly being like, you can't be that person because that person already exists in the, like the world, the universe, whatever you believe in. Is like, what do you bring to the table? Like, you are you, and that's your superpower. So when you're trying to be someone else or like live that life, you're taking away from your said path and, you know, your lane. And there's a reason everybody says, you know, that key line, like stay in your lane. The more true to yourself you can be, the more inner, you know, digging and discovering you can do within yourself and like pull out and like, you know, excavate out of your soul, like your guts that make you, you, like that's where, I mean, that's in itself is just like, that's where the, that's where the,
I love that. Is.
So yeah, I can't even make a word up for it.
I'm just like, it's just a feeling.
It's like just in there. But I do hear what you're saying with like everybody just, or a lot of people, you know, see someone and that's the thing. And I would say just a reminder, like just because you haven't seen it yet doesn't mean it can't be done, or it can't look a different way, or everybody can't experience that same level of success by being, and looking and saying different things.
I love that. I think that's so important. I don't know, you probably didn't know this, but I just started at Solid Core, a little over a month ago now. So I've been teaching there, and that's definitely something that I'm working on, is not being all of my favorite coach's voice, but being my own voice. And it's something that's easier said than done. Yeah. So that, I'm definitely taking your advice, and I know there are other fitness professionals listening. So I think that's super helpful to hear.
Totally. And I think that like, it just takes time. I think that's all, you know, right out the gate. So the best form of flattery is like a, I'm probably butchering this, but like the best form of flattery is like copy or a copycat, whatever. And I think you go off of like, oh, I heard, you know, so-and-so say that, so I'll like put my little spin on it. But eventually, like when you read your books and you listen to your podcast and you seek out the golden nuggets and the knowledge and the experience outside, and you really start to become, again, like your own entity, your own thing, that's when it'll really happen for you. But it's not like you wake up one day and you're like, I got it.
Yep.
Like, no. It's a constant process.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I love that you say that you read books, listen to podcasts yourself to kind of find your inspiration otherwise and maintain your own place to pull from for inspiration. Yeah. So with both, you know, SoulCycle being demanding emotionally and spiritually and physically, what else is kind of a non-negotiable for you to take care of yourself in that emotional sense and physical sense?
So much. I think where the line gets a little blurred is a lot of us, especially out wherever, you know, do this as a career. It's not a hobby. It's not, I teach 2 classes a week. It's like I teach 12 plus a week. So my recovery time has to look as many hours as I put on the bike, as off the bike, you know, being able to mentally unplug from all the other things and the social media and texting all the riders and sending voice notes and doing this and managing the, you know, everything. I mean, I do a lot of different things. I don't know, like, how to pull like one thing. I think, you know, I like to go play pickleball and I like to rollerblade and roller skate. And I like to drive the blue bike, the city bike to the North End and like get gnocchi and cookies from Bova's. And It's just like, find those little sparks of joy that you can. I like to get my nails done. Like, you know, it's like so silly. It's like silly little things, but I'm a big fan of like some things of like celebrating wins and treating yourself when you've accomplished something or checked something big off a list. And that could go back and forth with like celebrating a big win, but it also could look different. And also, you know, taking time for you to kind of retract back from, we give so much. Sometimes we have to like, so we can go recharge, fill up the bucket.
I love that. I love that you have a routine in place. Make sure that you're getting your inspiration just as much as you're giving it out. This is kind of opposite of what you were saying coming off of social media, but if we're talking about social media, I know that you specifically, I think, have really become a role model in the space for fitness professionals. You've grown your platform to over, I think, 40,000 people at this point, which is pretty amazing. And I know that you've created a brand for yourself on there. How do you think you're using social media to support your classes or to offer something different? What are you using or how are you using it as a tool?
So I think that social media is the difference between treating anything as a hobby versus as a business. And this might be a pretty unpopular opinion. And I've definitely had people be like, but I just don't believe that you could have a business or be doing a career at this point where you're not also leveraging your social media as like the number one marketing tool of all time. And I remember specifically in training, I went through training Group 22 and Jera. I'm sure a lot of people follow her on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Jera Foster, I think her Instagram handle.
Jera Bean, yeah.
Okay. Jera was in my SoulCycle training and I remember looking at her and I remember she was like all about the social and it was something I hadn't necessarily like super tapped into yet. And I remember in training sitting there and like, I didn't feel like I was the biggest or the strongest or like the most versed, like the best at my music. And like, I remember just feeling I had like a little bit of like lack thereof. And I was like, the one place I feel like that there's untapped potential and massive amounts of like growth and pushing this beyond anything would be social. So I made it a point that was going to be the way that I was going to connect with people and be in constant connection with them. And that was going to separate, you know, just from them coming and taking my class and leaving and not seeing or hearing from me for a certain amount of time to being a staple, almost like a household name, like a household.
Yeah.
And I know that that is not how everybody feels because of the amount of work that it is. But I do think if you can figure out how to, you know, balance it all and juggle it all, that social media is just, it's a game changer when it comes to being, creating a community for yourself, mm-hmm. beyond, you know, just the room for 45 minutes or an hour or whatever you get everyone for.
Yeah. I love that. I think it's so important to have that community still off the bike, also with people who may not be able to ride with you. I still see you on my feed every day, even though I haven't been to Boston in months. So that's something, you know, to connect with people who don't have that access to you in that room is really special. So that's a perfect transition. I want you to plug everything you've got, social media, podcast, classes, everything that you ever wanted people to hear about from you. Share it, and yeah, I hope everyone follows.
Yeah, that's really kind. I feel like just the main staple really is Instagram always. Mm-hmm. It's the quickest way to get replies or music or whatever. And I'm just at Mads Tadz, MADDZTADDZ. And I don't really have any plugs. Like, I have my own social media. I'm working on my website. I'm redoing it for like the 18th time, trying to really like brand across all boards. Like my podcast, Mads Tadz Beyond the Bike. And I have a coaching program called Wicked Fearless, but really anything and everything can be found through the gram. Like it Love really, it. Can. That's really where it is. And like, yes, I'm doing reels and the TikTok and like, there's a million things going on for all of us. But I think the one constant for me, and I feel like for most, is probably Instagram, whether we like it or not. So.
Well, thank you so much, Maddie. You are a light, truly, on the bike, off the bike. You have maintain that consistent positive brand for yourself. And I love talking with you today. And I'm so glad that everyone got to hear you and be inspired by you if they can't come take your class. And I'm so excited to see you again in a couple of months in Boston. And thank you.
You are so welcome. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
With that, I will conclude today's episode. Thank you so, so much for listening, as always. If you did enjoy listening today, please leave a rating or subscribe to That Girl's Going Places wherever you listen to podcasts. It would really support me. And feel free to reach out at That Girl's Going Places podcast on Instagram with any questions that you have for a future Q&A segment or with any topic requests for future episodes. I love you all so much. I will talk to you again in the next episode, and I really hope that you have an amazing day.